Hello, everyone. A very warm welcome to another episode of Psychology Talks. And today we're going to talk about neurodiversity. What is neurodiversity? It is actually an idea that neurological differences like autism, ADHD, are just the result of normal, natural variation in the human genome. Neurodivergent people are part of neurodiversity. They are the people that have the same kind of brain, but they work in a different way. They function in not the way that we are accustomed to, but they are very talented and they are as much part of our community or our society as any other common people are. And in order to discuss this important topic, I've invited two of my favorite personalities on LinkedIn, and they are Mariah and Byron Edgington. They are a dynamic duo, renowned for their thought-provoking TEDx talks, their inspiring work as a best-selling author and keynote speaker. Together, they co-founded Mandate to Elevate LLC, a company dedicated to uplifting individuals and fostering personal growth. Mariah brings a wealth of experience from her previous roles as retired ICU, ER, flight nurse, now empowering others through her coaching to recognize their inherent worth and embrace life of fulfillment. While Byron, a retired helicopter pilot, public speaker, and award-winning author, brings a unique perspective that resonates with audience worldwide. Their collaborative effort have resulted in the creation of the acclaimed Journey Well and You Are More Than Enough book series. So let's welcome Mariah and Byron. Hello, Mariah and Byron. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Avery. It's wonderful to be here.
Thank you for having us. It's wonderful.
Likewise. As I actually told you before joining, this live stream that you both are my favorite people on LinkedIn. I mean, your work is amazing, and especially the topic you actually share, neurodiversity, is much needed in current society. As we see, a lot of people are different. I wouldn't say that they are not normal or they're special. They are just different. They have different talents, but they are very much like us. So I hope that today's discussion will inspire people to think beyond these labels. So I've just given a very brief introduction about you two, but please enlighten our audience today about your life, that how you started your journey and how did you end up here?
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. How did we get here? That's a very good question.
Yeah.
We have discovered fairly recently that we are what we call a neurotypical, neurodivergent couple, because I'm neurotypical. I match all the metrics, all the markers of what psychologists consider normal, whatever that is. And Mariah is neurodivergent. She has ADHD and autism and a few other traits of neurodivergence. Wow. So we have decided that, number one, we need to somehow, however we can do it, to enlighten people that these differences are not deficits, they are benefits.
Yeah.
And we need to learn to explore them and to celebrate those differences, especially among couples and especially among couples like us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And what about you, Mariah? How did you start your journey? I mean, for example, I know that you mentioned that you just found out you are neurodivergent couples. But before realizing that, any troubles you faced or what was your life before that?
Well, that's a really good question. It's one I get asked a lot, Avery. People say, and it comes a lot from people who are likely in the neurotypical area. And that is, how would you even know? And what I say to people is, someone who is neurodivergent has known forever. Because growing up, it's common for people who are neurodivergent, which means it's an umbrella term. And for those of you who don't aren't familiar with the term neurodivergent, coined back in 1998 by Judith Singer, an Australian sociologist. And she was doing her thesis and found that there was a subset of people, autistic, ADHD, ones with dyslexia, dyscalculia, dysgraphia. There are a number of different, and I don't want to really say disorders, but that's how it's labeled a lot of times. And that's why we look at labels, because that's often an unusual term or uncomfortable term for those of us who are neurodivergent. But the people who fall in that category often have known, even if they're not diagnosed, they've known they were different from the get-go. When I was a kid, I would be playing and somebody would just say, "Why can't you just be normal?" And I wondered that myself, but I didn't have any way to distinguish what normal was. Mm-hmm. So as I've gotten older, I've learn tips and tools that now I relay to my clients and those we talk with, and we're on podcasts frequently and we're able to speak about it, because now that I'm older, I'm more comfortable and I'm more confident in how I speak. And I think those are really important things to know, that for people who are younger, when you have a diagnosis of this, when you're an adult, it's easy to look back and say, "Oh, wow, first of all, that's what's going on. And mm-hmm. secondly, I wish I would have known." Yeah. But by, even though you didn't know, now you do. And now you move forward with new tips and tools. Mm-hmm. So what I encourage people to do.
Amazing. Yeah, that's true. So it leads me to ask two questions, basically. The first one is that how to actually recognize that we are different. Like maybe, for example, if someone is different, if someone, let's say, is having ADHD or autism. So first of all, how to recognize maybe what symptoms do they need to, and then like once they recognize it or realize it, what step they need to do it, take, what step they need to take?
Well, first of all, it's not everyone gets diagnosed, and that's okay. By looking at, and of course we all have Dr. Google at our fingertips. By looking at the symptoms and the different traits, you can, that anyone can Google ADHD, dyslexia, autism, and they can see different traits within there, the subsets, and identify with them. There are tools online, and I suggest, Byron and I talk about the Mayo Clinic, about Johns Hopkins, about reliable sources. So don't just go to mypretygoodwebsite.com looking for advice, but go to a real, even Psychology Today likely has tools that they can use. And so I encourage people to go ahead and look it up. See if you fit that area, because you'll know. For example, one thing that we've known for years before I even knew I had dyscalculia or dysgraphia was that whenever we would be driving and I'd be navigating, if I said to Byron, if he said, "Okay, what's the map say?" This was before GPS. I'd say, "Oh, turn right." And he would automatically
because I knew that she doesn't do directions. She doesn't do right or left. Hardly. And in fact, here's an interesting story about this, Amber. We used to fly together at the hospital. And I was a pilot and Mariah was a nurse. We'd fly together. And there was a darn good reason that I was up in front navigating. And because she didn't know right from left, and I can't start an IV on a patient to save my life. So it was a perfect arrangement.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. Actually, I didn't know about that, that these like neurodivergent people can't actually differentiate between right and left. I don't know. I never actually thought of myself, but I also find difficulty to have right or left, because whenever I think of this right or this left, so this is always have this confusion. So I think I need to check myself also. This is interesting. So anyways, yeah. So once they find out, as you mentioned, like there are reliable websites and they need to Google it. So once they find out that they have certain problem or they are different, what are the next steps they need to take?
Well, they might not need to take any other steps, because
okay,
one thing that I have found talking to many, many people, and that is, well, gosh, now what do I do? Well, you've known yourself for years. Mm-hmm. Just trust yourself. Now, you can go and speak with a professional. We're not professionals in mental health space.
Mm-hmm. Catherine Lizardo.
Yeah.
Mentioned her. Yeah.
And we have met a lot of great people within our work. One of them is prominent on LinkedIn, Catherine Lizardo. And she goes by the ADHD mom. Yeah. And she has a wealth of information too. Yeah. And there's a lot of people who have reliable researched information. So you can, people who find out that they are different or they might have ADHD or autism or any of the dyslexia, dyscalculia kind of things, they can go to their own personal doctor and say, hey, I would like a real diagnosis. And then they can go from there.
Okay. So of course they need to actually seek professional help, right? It's always important to find professional help rather than, you know, trying to, or struggle to find ways to deal with them on their own, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And here I would also want to ask that, you know, the people around them might not be very welcoming to the fact that, you know, there are different people and they expect them to behave in the same way, right?
Yes,
so
yeah.
That's the main problem, even like especially the person who has that kind of difference, right? They know that they are different, but the society or the community don't expect them to be different. That's the main dilemma of the society.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
right.
How to actually minimize that gap of expectation, or what is like how to solve that dilemma?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good question, a very good point. And I'm glad you brought it up, because there's a term called neuromasking that we need to keep in mind, because as a neurotypical, for example, I'll include myself in this answer. Mm-hmm. As a neurotypical person, it's very, or at least I'm working on it, I'm getting better, but it was very common for me to dismiss Mariah's intuitions and her perspective. Mm-hmm. Because I just thought there was something mistaken or improper about the way she reacted to various things. Mm-hmm. And so she came around and adopted my view, even though she knew it was wrong. that's called neuromasking. So okay. For a neurotypical person, our role is to be a lot more conscious of these differences, and to make sure that our mate or whoever it is, our friend, whoever this person is, make sure that they're not neuromasking, because they might do that just to fit in. It's a very common.
Yeah. But then when they do these neuromasking, of course, it has repercussions. So how to deal with that? I mean, what solution do you recommend for that? What step they need to take it to overcome these things?
Yes.
Well, that is a good point. And that's one I commonly hear. That is, once people know, or once, first of all, when I first found out that truly I was neurodivergent, I found out many years ago that I had ADHD, and I just thought, oh, okay, that's me. I didn't really put it together. how significant it was. And then as I found out I had other traits too that fell under that big spectrum, I started really looking at how my life was and how I needed to personally unmask and become my true self and kind of grow into that. And so that goes back to that thing I mentioned earlier where I was speaking about, oh, I'm not comfortable within my own skin necessarily because it's brand new to me. So I encourage people who are looking at this, who are investigating if they have these traits, to really take some time with it and look it over. Know that all those years you got those labels are not you, but yet you did not change just because of this diagnosis. Mm-hmm. You're still that same person. And now that you know, I want you to start switching the tapes in your mind, taking those negative words that you've been labeled with and switching them to positive. So if you hear in your mind, oh, I'm so stupid, flip it. I am so smart. Mm-hmm. If you hear, oh, I'm really afraid, switch it in your mind. I am so brave. And start putting positive words behind the phrase, I am.
Yeah.
And become a strong, competent, confident person who's already in there.
Yeah. And if I can add just a bit to that, I really, Diane Carter has a, this is a wonderful expression, a tapestry of talents. I love that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Diane, for that. Yeah. And this is where the celebrating the differences comes in, because I'll give you an example. When we were writing our first book, Journey Well, You're More Than Enough, we found that Mariah's ADHD, if there was something that she wasn't particularly interested in, her focus was just all over the map.
Yeah.
She had almost no focus whatsoever. But she was deeply passionate about this book. And her focus almost drove me crazy.
Yeah.
I wanted to edit and edit and edit everything. And the result is, it's a beautiful book, finally.
Yeah.
And so that's one of those differences that we had to learn to celebrate that difference.
Yeah, I mean, this is the amazing advice I actually got from you, that, you know, that first of all, we need to switch the narrative, because I believe that the voice inside our head shapes our personality. I mean, we start believing what we hear from our own self. So I think that's the wonderful advice, that when we don't, it doesn't matter what people say to us, but how we make it our reality, that matters a lot.
You know,
we need to change that internal dialogue that, okay, people are saying, but that these people don't know you, that who you are, what are your talent. That's how we need to change that narrative. So that's wonderful. And as you mentioned that, you know, like Mariah has that, maybe she doesn't need to focus on the other areas which doesn't interest, but you know, that one one thing which she loves, and she created a beautiful like result, that's the book, which is amazing. So I think we need to change the way we start looking at ourselves, that okay, we may be different, but we have certain things that we need to celebrate and we need to own. So I think that's wonderful. So now moving on to the discussion, as you know, especially at the workplace, there's a lot of discrimination happens, right? Especially with neurodivergent people. So what do you suggest that how we can actually overcome these kind of discrimination?
Yeah, very good questions you have here. One of the things that particularly, let's talk about HR personnel who do the hiring, for instance. Mm-hmm. They are, if they turn people away because they're different, they're losing a lot of talent, number one, because folks who have these traits, if they're matched up to the correct job, they perform in a stellar fashion. And so HR departments need to look at this and really, really study this. And a few things I can think of that, for example, folks with autism, let's talk about folks with autism those traits. They don't do well in a crowded, noisy, harshly lit environment. They just don't thrive in that environment.
Yeah.
But if they can be, if they can be adjusted, or if they can have those external situations adjusted for them, they will thrive in whatever job they're given. That's just one example. Yes. Yeah. And beyond that, we all, and as I said, we're just scratching the surface today about the real benefits of all these differences. And I could give you a lot of different names of people throughout history that, well, Albert Einstein, Vincent Van Gogh, and Frida Kahlo. And I mean, I could just go on and on about people who, looking back at them, obviously had these traits. And their donation to the world is immense. So we need to explore all of those things and celebrate those differences.
Amazing. I completely agree with you that all these greatest minds of the world are and were different. And I think that was the reason why they created such impact, because they embraced their difference. I mean, they knew that they are different, and they know, they knew that, you know, where they need to focus and how to do that. So that's exactly, I mean, people need to know that if someone says that, you know, they are not fitting in at a particular place, at a particular in a particular environment, that doesn't mean that they are no good or they are not worthy of it. It's a matter that they need to find the right place where they can flourish. So that's one very important thing. And one thing that I also wanted to ask, that especially neurodivergent people, they are different, and sometimes they may be struggling, but they don't know what's happening to them. Mm-hmm. And that leads to maybe different kind of problem. Like, for example, if a person who is having ADHD, but they don't know they are having ADHD. And because of that, or because maybe they are left out or something, it actually leads them to develop maybe depression or something. So what do you think that what they need to do, or what other people around them should actually help them out, especially when people are struggling? So, because, you know, as like our topic today is like, we need to think beyond these labels. So how we can remove these labels and help other people to live in a better way?
Sure. Yeah, that's another good question. For one thing, I guess people have kind of an aversion to being labeled. So I think we would encourage people to just recognize the differences all by themselves and to just to explore them. And I think this is particularly true of neurotypical people, because our assumption is that everybody is like us, and that's absolutely not true. And in fact, I should mention here too, if I may, that in both of our books, Journey Well You Are More Than Enough, and the subtitle is Rediscover Your Passion, Purpose, Love of Yourself and Life. Mm-hmm. And our second book is Journey Well You Are More Than Enough, Mindset Matters.
Wow.
And both of those books are available on Amazon right now for 99 cents in digital, by the way.
Wow, that's an amazing opportunity. Yeah. I will actually share the link of both of your books after the show on this. So like people who are listening will get the advantage of this opportunity where they can get this, you know, at a very like reasonable and, you know, competitive price. So, and that's really good. So you said that like you have like both the books about the mindset matter. What exactly, I mean, you shared in that, so people will know that, you know, when they are looking for a book or when they're buying, so what they will find in that book. Maybe you can just enlighten us about it.
Yeah.
Well, Ambreen, before we go on, I do want to make a good point here off of what you just asked. And that is when someone is really struggling, and people look at someone who looks like they might be down or sad or something, make sure that they get professional help.
Yeah.
So if you know somebody who is really not in a good place, help them. Help them to get professional help, because when someone is really that low, as obviously you know with mental health issues, that impact that you have right now, and you're helping so many people through your initiatives. But we know that people who are truly clinically depressed have no ability to reach out themselves. They need support. And so anybody who's hearing this, please, if you know somebody who isn't acting the same as they did before, help them.
Yeah.
Because that is a difficult place to be. We don't want anyone to have their light go out. We want to make sure that everybody is elevated. And reading a book is not going to happen when you're that low.
That's right.
So please, if you know somebody, make sure you reach out and help them. But with the Mindset Matters, the second book, we made it short. Each chapter is only a few words.
Yeah,
it's and as you know, with your book that you have recently released, and am I right in saying it's Whispers of Hope?
Yes. Yeah.
It's very important to keep things nice and tight and short and give people a succinct message. Mm-hmm. And that's what you done so beautifully within that. Mindset Matters is the same way. We give them short and then give them actionable steps that they can take to help them to gain that footing, gain that traction of how to elevate themselves.
Yeah, and the other advantage of that short book is they can read it over and over again.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's very important, because even I kept my other book also, The Algorithm, I kept very short, because I know that people, especially nowadays, when they are constantly bombarded by the information, they have a very short span of attention. I mean, I was reading somewhere that now the short span of attention is less than the goldfish span of attention. So, you know that, how crazy we are these days, that we just don't, like, a mind keeps hopping from one place to another very quickly. If in that frame of time something doesn't attract attention, it's gonna lose it. So we need to keep it very short and, you know, very attractive to attract the attention.
We didn't write it for goldfish, but it does have some cool nuggets in it. So
actually now we are having, like, all of us having short span of attention, like, I think everybody behaves like a goldfish these days. I know this is very important topic and we can go on and on about it, but I'm afraid, like, now we're reaching to the end of the show. So before we actually close the show, what parting advice would you like to give to our audience today to, you know, deal with these differences?
Well, one thing we would like to mention, and it's because as we've retired from professions and moved into this new space, we want to make sure that people who are diagnosed or feel they have this that was overlooked for years, that to give them the best outcome and the best benefit of that. And that's, Byron and I are starting to reach out to couples or people in a relationship, and all of a sudden one of them or maybe both of them realize, oh my gosh, I fit that, and I fit that, and that's me. And so we want to make sure that people feel supported in that area. So if anybody hearing this knows that they and their partner are looking for resources, we're going to start doing some webinars and reach out to people to help in relationships as you get older, so you can start really understanding this and bonding more.
That would be amazing. Absolutely. And you are doing so much work, especially creating awareness about this important topic. So I really appreciate your work. This is, like, you're doing a remarkable work. So thank you for all your efforts. And what is the best way our audience or whoever, like, is listening live or whoever, like, maybe listening it as a replay, they can reach out? What is the best way to reach out to you?
Yes, thanks for asking that. They can go to mandate2elevate.com. That's our website. And there's lots of resources on there. Lots of, in fact, some are free downloads and so forth. So I'd encourage them to go there. And our books are for sale there. And that's what our email addresses are there too.
LinkedIn is where we do most of our social.
Definitely. I think I have already shared the link to your website on in the comments. And I'll make sure that I'll just post all your websites and whereabout when I post it on the podcast as well. So thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your wisdom. And I think this is very important topic, and people are, I mean, I've seen a lot of people who are struggling with their differences. And I know a lot of people who know others that they may be suffering. So it's something that we need as a community to create awareness, to know that there are people, they may be struggling, but they are not different, I would say. They are just like us. They may have different capabilities, different talents, but they are just like us. We need to accept them. So that's one thing that I want people to know, that don't differentiate and don't discriminate.
Right. So. We have a tapestry of talents.
That's a wonderful word.
Wonderful expression. Yeah.
Thank you, Evren. We appreciate your time and being with you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for from all the audience who've joined from across the globe and shared the comments. Thank you and have a great day. Bye-bye.